we have any thrill seekers on board today? Because that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for thrill seekers. If you're a thrill seeker, raise your hand. No, not the hand with the coffee in it. Yeah, keep that down there. Okay, good. I thought so, because I'm a thrill seeker too. And I'm going to ask an important question this morning. Do you think that it is a coincidence that under the sixth messenger and the sixth trumpet of the unveiling chapter 9, that there are four messengers bound at the river Euphrates? Do you think that's a coincidence with the fact that in Daniel's vision, in Daniel chapter 7, there were four beasts that came out of the sea? And do you think it's a coincidence that the wild beast of Revelation is a perfect composite of the four beasts of Daniel chapter 7? And finally, I will ask you if you think it is a coincidence that Daniel received his vision along the Euphrates River. Hello, everyone. Martin Zender here. And we're off on another chilling, thrilling adventure in the Book of the Unveiling. And starting today, I'm going to dip into the prophecy of Daniel, specifically chapter 7. And again, I'm still dealing with the sixth trumpet of the unveiling chapter 9. But before you can understand the judgment of that trumpet, you must see what is being destroyed there. A third of humanity is being killed. This is a big deal under the sixth trumpet. Why? Why are they being destroyed? Well, as I told you, God is intensely interested in worship, and the voice comes out of the horns of the altar. And as we go into Daniel chapter 7, we are going to see that the four beasts of Daniel are not national blocks. They're not nations at all. Most expositors will make them nations. And this is what else they will do. They will take the beasts of Daniel, the she-bear, the lioness, the leopardess, and the monstrous, and they will say that this is a repeat of Daniel chapter 2 and Nebuchadnezzar's image, the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, the head of gold, chest of bronze, thighs of silver, legs and feet of iron and clay. They say that this is just a repetition of it. That is, that the head of gold corresponds to the she-bear, and that the chest of silver corresponds with the lioness, and so on and so forth. And in this, they are mistaken. I'm going to show you why. And they instantly go off on a rabbit trail. If you miss the truth here in Daniel chapter 7 and Daniel chapter 2, you're missing everything. And furthermore, most expositors believe that the fourth part of the image, the iron mixed with clay, was the Roman Empire. They assume the Roman Empire to have been a world empire. And so they don't see, there's no room then for a future world empire. We know the head of gold was Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, plainly stated to be that. The chest of silver was a succeeding empire, an empire that would come after Nebuchadnezzar's, and that was the Medo-Persian Empire. And the thighs of bronze, that was a third world empire, namely Alexander the Great's Grecian Empire. And the fourth world empire is still future, because the Roman Empire was never a world empire. They might have thought they were, oh, high and mighty, are we? Trying to take a census of the whole world, are we? But they couldn't, because they did not hold the whole world. Never a world empire. And so, as we go into Daniel 7, I'm going to show you another difference. Is that the four beasts that come out of the sea cannot be a repetition of the four parts of the image. For one reason, because Daniel is startled by these wild beasts. He wasn't startled by the dream. I mean, God gave him the interpretation of, he even told him Nebuchadnezzar's dream, then gave him the interpretation of it. But this startled him. If this was a rerun, like Gilligan's Island or Petticoat Junction, Daniel wouldn't have been so like, oh my God, what is this? He was startled because it was different than Nebuchadnezzar's image. But I dare you to find anybody online commenting on the unveiling of Jesus Christ who makes the four parts of the metallic image and the four beasts of Daniel 7 makes them different. Nobody who doesn't say that the four beasts are the same as, different way of looking at the metallic image. It's ridiculous. We're going to prove that. Prove it today on the Revelation series. This is what I do. I make sense for a living. It's a tough job, but somebody has to do it. I'm happy to do it for you. Let's brush up here. We're going to be, is this the cradle of civilization? Something about the Euphrates River, the Tigris, the Euphrates. Some big stuff went on there. They call it the cradle of civilization. This was the location of, a little thing called the Garden of Eden. Yeah. Adam and Eve were created on the banks of the Euphrates and the Tigris River. It was the site of the Tower of Babel. When humanity tried to unite, form a one-world government, well, God wasn't ready for it. Time to disperse the nations, mix up the languages. And they're still mixed up, if my experience in Brazil means anything. Couldn't understand a word those people were saying. It was also the site of three world kingdoms. Yes, that's right. The Babylonian Empire's headquarters was in Babylon by the Euphrates River. The Medo-Persian Empire, the second world empire, by the banks of the Tigris and the Euphrates River, Babylon. The Grecian Empire, Alexander the Great. Where do you think his capital was? No, not Sheboygan, Wisconsin. No, it was Babylon, same place. And so the final world kingdom, Rome was never in Babylon. The final world kingdom is going to be in Babylon. That's that. And again, as I asked you at the beginning, it is no coincidence. When I show you these four beasts and explain to you what they are, that there are four messengers bound at the river Euphrates at the same place where Daniel received this vision. And this has to do with world dominion. And again, world dominion comes in two forms. Comes in the form of politics and religion. And we're going to see in Daniel chapter 7, behind the scenes into the formation of religions. And there are only four religions. I'm already giving you a big hint. I want to save that for tomorrow. But I'm already giving you a big hint that these four beasts are not a repeat of the metallic image of Nebuchadnezzar. This is in the reign of Belshazzar, who had the audacity to use the instruments of the temple that they sacked back in Jerusalem, brought the fire pans and the forks and the spoons and the chalices into his pagan banquet hall, and he used them to serve the bacon. It was really bad. So this is religious in nature. It's religious in nature. And the four beasts are not political blocks. They're not a repeat of the image. They are religions. Nobody's seeing this. A.E. Knox saw this, and it changes everything. He saw it with the proper translation of one word in Daniel chapter 7. When you translate one word correctly, well, I got to say there's another phrase too that needs translated correctly. But when you correct these two things, truth will open up to you that has not been opened up to anyone else, because they blinked and they didn't take translating seriously, right? The old King James syndrome. That word appears here, appears there. We'll just translate it all the same. We don't do that here. And Mr. A.E. Knock did not do that when he compiled the concordant version. Whether the Old Testament or the New Testament, Greek or Hebrew scripture, same deal. The Unveiling 9. Chapter, that is verse 13. And again, I know I'm spending a lot of time here because I'm thorough. That's the reason. and the six messenger trumpets, and I hear one voice out of the horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth messenger who has the trumpet, loose the four messengers who are bound at the great river Euphrates. And great it is. And loosed were four messengers made ready for the hour, the day, the month, and the year that they should be killing a third of humanity. And the number of the troops of cavalry was 200 millions. I hear their number. And thus I perceived the horses in the vision and those sitting on them having cuirasses, fiery and amethystine. That's a word here. I've never seen it. But amethystine has to do with, it's the adjective form of amethyst. It's not amethyst. It's of amethyst. So we're going to call it amethystine. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, doing the best I can. And sulfurous. The cuirasses, that is the breastplate. No, a cuirass is not a breastplate. We're going to get into details later. I'm kind of touching on it now, but these supernatural cavalry, it's not just a breastplate. It's a cuirass. That goes all the way around. All right. The heads of the horses are as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths is issuing fire and fumes and sulfur. By these three calamities were killed a third of humankind. This is big stuff. This is serious. This has never happened before. That's why I'm looking into it with great detail. And I'm spending time on it. Because this is going to happen, I think, to people you may know. And it's why I always exhort people to embrace Paul's evangel. Because in Paul's evangel, we are rescued out of the coming indignation by the fire and the fumes and the sulfur which is issuing out of their mouths. For the license of the horses is in their mouths and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents, having heads, and with them they are injuring. And the rest of mankind who were not killed in these calamities repent not of the acts of their hands. Verse 20 now, and they will not be worshiping the demons of idols and idols of gold, silver, copper, stone, wood, which are neither able to be observing, nor to be hearing, nor to be walking. And they repent not of their murders, nor of their enchantments, nor of their prostitution, nor of their thefts. We talked about that last week. Now we go to Daniel chapter 7. And I'm looking at my time, and I don't have time to begin reading. But tomorrow I'm going to begin reading for you Daniel chapter 7. We're going to look at the four animals. Then we're going to look at the characteristics of each one of these animals. And we are going to see remarkably that these characteristics fit the four religions of the world. And there are only four, as I said. No, Shintoism, Christian Science, these are all offshoots. They're branches of the major religions. We're going to look at those words that were mistranslated, because if you blink here, you're going to miss it. Ladies and gentlemen, I am not going to let you miss it.